The following audio is from Cross Life Church in Tampa, Florida. We are a church that exists to help people find Christ, their place in the body, and their mission to the world. Our calling is to raise leaders and plant churches. So if you live in the Hudson area or near Wesa Chapel, you can also check us out at one of our other locations. For more information, visit us at crosslife.net.
Okay, so can I have some kids can be dismissed, and then can I have some guys help me hand these out? These are our notes. Here you go, Jeter. I know you want to run around. Could you help me as well? We've been going through some foundational truths. So lesson number 5, we went through God the Father, God the Son. We're going to talk about God the Holy Spirit today. And next week, I told you, got a couple theologians coming in to talk on the Trinity. So that's going to be good. And if you're wondering, so, you know, when we were teaching this, because we used to do this on midweek and then decided, you know what, this is super important for just the whole church to be involved with, be a part of, have an understanding of. And when we were teaching it during the week, Joan and I would teach it, and I said, Joan, would you be willing to do that on Sunday morning? She goes, are you sure? And I said, who better, think about this, who better to help us have an understanding concerning the ministry of the Spirit of God than a career missionary? Somebody's been on the mission field, her and her husband, over 30 years, went into the prison, started a ministry in the prison to ladies in the prison who never lived. She was a Miss Goody Two-Shoes. And for her, never had any inkling of that life. To be able to go in and minister to women through all the myriad of situations that were in there, she was like, Lord, why do you want me to do this? I have no idea what they're going through. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, oh, but I do. And you have a voice of truth, and I want you to go. So Joan is with me this morning. This is fun. I'm excited about this. So let's pray. Father, this morning, this is your word, and you want us to understand you and your word and your ways in our life. And so this morning, we're asking is just great grace, favor for us collectively to hear from you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, on your notes there, the objective this morning is really to realize who the Holy Spirit is and to discover his work in your life. Now, the verse that we have just an edited little piece of a verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, and it's in the New Living Translation. But I want to kind of maybe back up a bit, and I want us to look at kind of a bigger context of this verse, because really, Ephesians 5, the whole of Ephesians 5 really is dealing with walking out of an old life into a new life. And it contrasts a lot, an old life and a new life. And here specifically in this verse, it's talking about, walk away from that old life. Don't be drunken with wine in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Here the NIV says, let the Holy Spirit fill and control your life. But if you back up, I think, to verse 15, and let's just read this through Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, says this. Sorry, I wasn't there. Look carefully then how you should walk, not as unwise, but wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so don't be drunken with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. All right. Go ahead, Joan.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
I have to stand up because otherwise my voice doesn't work.
Did you do that before that?
Yeah, it's better.
Oh, okay.
You know, breathe. So anyway, I was kind of a problem. I was kind of a preacher's kid. I was a professor's kid, and I was a problem kid.
Oh, I never would have.
And that's why I get along so well with Tracy. So, anyway, the first thing we want to know today is, what's the background of the Holy Spirit? What's the history of the Holy Spirit? When I read that, I thought, what are they talking about? What is the history of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit always was and will always be. And the Holy Spirit, the background, he was in the Old Testament. He is in the New Testament. And I think the Holy Spirit is the most overlooked person in the Trinity. So, how do we picture the Holy Spirit? In my life group in the last few weeks, we've been looking at and discussing, how do you picture Jesus? And we've said, white robe, a beard, walking among the people. But that's the way he was on earth. That's human. But we should be picturing Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, with a double-edged sword, with light, with fire in his feet. He's powerful. And we tend to make him little. The Holy Spirit, what do? With the Holy Spirit? We call it an it. How many of you would like to be called it? So when you think about it, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So do you speak to God the Father? Through prayer, right? Do you speak to God the Son? Mm-hmm. Through prayer, right? Do you speak to God the Holy Spirit? Some do, and some never do. Because you think it's an it. He's not an it, it's a him. And I haven't met a him yet that I wouldn't speak to. We need people we speak to, and this is a person. So it says the Holy Spirit is not an it or a thing. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of the living God.
Answers 1 and 2, by the way. All of you got to get all your lines filled in. She gave them to you.
So the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. Person. If we don't get anything else today, I hope we get the idea that the Holy Spirit is a person, real, and he lives. So, there's your first page answers. I'm not too good at following books. So, what is the role of the Holy Spirit? Every person in the Trinity has a role. And everyone does their part. And if you take a triangle, you can point it any way, and it's still the same. So today we're looking at the Holy Spirit and
page
his
39.
Role. And the Holy Spirit, it says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit regenerates me. The Holy Spirit clothes me. The Holy Spirit dwells within me. And you know, that's very important. Because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, rested on people, came upon people, filled them for a minute while they had a purpose. God gave them the Holy Spirit. But after Christ, God indwells us through the Holy Spirit. Not just the Holy Spirit. It's a living God dwelling within us. We have power. And so often we forget that power. And we think we're defeated, but we have the living God living in us. So before I came to Christ, I was spiritually dead. I grew up in the church. I could quote scripture. I was a quizzer. I grew up in the church knowing to do the right things, not always doing them. But I was spiritually dead. My parents salvation, and the Holy Spirit within my parents didn't automatically, by osmosis, come to me. So I had to learn. And before I came to Christ, I was spiritually dead. Now I'm spiritually alive. Not because I read the Bible, not because I believe God is real, not because I kind of believe in him. I am spiritually alive because the Spirit of the living God is living in me. So I was spiritually dead, and I'm alive through new birth.
You know, I was thinking about that song, You've Won My Heart. And I don't know how that hits you, but the reality of the presence of God in my life. If you're a believer, the reality of God or the presence of God in your life. I think we need to re-remember that moment that God, there was a moment that you came to this realization of the reality of maybe, okay, let me back that up. Some of us came to Christ not fully understanding what I thought all that meant, but you got to this place where you surrendered. Some of you knew more, but there was this wooing. God was drawing you to himself. And the moment you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you repented of your sins, there's a lot of things that took place. One of them is he broke the power of sin in your life. He imparted the Spirit of God in you. You were now separated for this holy purpose, this purpose that God had determined for you before the creation of the world. There's probably a list of at least a dozen things that happened the moment that you received Christ, but the thing that we need to grab a hold of more than anything is the reality of the impartation of the divine nature in our life. The thing that wins me over and over and over is the realization of the presence of God, of the Spirit of God in my life. And like Joan said, so often we kind of overlook it. Look, we're not here to do this by ourselves. We are here with the help of the Spirit of God teaching and guiding and directing our life. So this idea of that he regenerates us, that word has the idea of that there is this spiritual birth that took place. A spiritual birth. I was spiritually dead in my sins. When I received Christ, that changed. I now have this spiritual birth. I now have this spiritual aliveness. And for all of you in here that have never been raised in Christian circles or around it, when you came to Christ, immediately there was a difference. I can remember so many times going, how did I not see this before? How could I at 21 years of age miss that there was a God and that he loved me and that he was real? How could I miss that? Well, I was walking in darkness and I was spiritually dead. I was separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that was in me, because of the blindness and my ignorance. But now, having come to Christ and him imparting his Spirit in my life, that's changes the whole thing. So, let's look at page 40. Let me just give you the first three. Let me give you the answer three and answer four and answer one so you don't have to wonder where I'm at with this. My wife's giggling because she's going, Tracy, you got to give the pages and you got to fill out. She's one of those. Got to check the box. It's got to be complete. So, all right. Look at Ralph's score. Woohoo! Okay, how many are anal retentive? All right. Number three, the Holy Spirit bears witness. The Holy Spirit bears witness to the believer's sonship. We're going to go back and touch on these. Number four, The Holy Spirit baptizes believers into the body of Christ. And then number one there, his work following salvation. The believer is sanctified by the Holy Spirit. All right. This is what I just got done sharing with you. All that lead up into here really is an answer to three. Because it is the Holy Spirit that lets me know that I'm a child of God. I mean, how many of you look up in, before you were a believer and then once you became a believer, looked in the mirror and go, I'm a child of God. That's just craziness. No, it was the Spirit, it was the witness of the Spirit in your life. I can remember having come to Christ and everything was different. I'm going, what's going on? And it was constantly the Spirit of God who is resident in me, telling me what was true, reminding me of truths of the Scripture. No, Tracy, you received Christ. You have died to your sins. You're alive to me. I'm a part of your life. I'm in here. And so often we forget that He is there as a helper to us. So Romans 8:16, it says the Spirit Himself testifies. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are indeed God's children. Now, who would try to get you to believe differently? That would be Satan. But let me just say this so that we have it clear. And let me just say it to you, some that maybe have struggled in life or maybe young people. Listen, when you pray this prayer, when you acknowledge your sin, you ask from your heart, you ask Jesus to forgive your sins, you are not kind of, not a little bit, you are born again. And when you pray that prayer, you get the full measure of Christ in your life. You don't get a little bit of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just dish out a little bit. You get the full measure of Christ. You get the full measure of the Spirit of God in your life. You don't get like a mini Jesus. If you're 5 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, and you receive Christ, you get the full measure of the Spirit of God in your life. That's why one of the things I love here is that, listen, we are all members of the body in particular. Nobody better than anybody. Nobody that greater than anybody. Nobody ahead of anybody. We're all in this together. And whether you're 5 or 105, there's no difference. We all have gifts. And think about this just for a minute. What I love about this is that very God resident in your life is the one speaking, helping you see, and guiding your life no matter what age you are. I love that. Man, how could we look down or how could we dismiss someone who's young that knows Jesus and has the Spirit of God living in their life? We can't dismiss that. Look, as a church, we need to take heed to that and we need to listen. So the Spirit of God is the one who is in our life, helping us understand who God is. So it is this, under number three, there is this. It's not this inner feeling. It is a divine witness. It is a divine witness. It isn't your head speaking to you. It isn't this voice out there. It is very God in your life bearing witness with you that you are God's child. Man, I don't know about you, but that just is assuring to me. And that is encouraging to me. Number four, the Holy Spirit baptizes believers in the body of Christ. Let me just qualify this real quick. Joan texted me. She said, hey, are you going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues on Sunday? I just need to know, are you going to give the Alliance's position? I said, well, I don't know. We don't have a lot of time, but let me just say this for all of you right here, right now. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. I believe in miracles, and I believe in divine healing. I believe all those things, and I believe they bear record in the Scripture. I'm not here to convince you. Here's what I want to do this morning. I'm here to convince you that the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit of the living God, is resident in your life to teach, to train, to guide, to encourage, to protect, and watch over your life. That's what we need to get first and foremost. We need to understand that. We can't dismiss that. Like Joan said, sometimes we kind of push the Holy Spirit aside because we don't understand. I'm thinking, how could you not understand the Spirit of God when He is in your life, speaking to you, talking to you every day? I don't understand that. That's what we need to give heed to. That's what we need to pay attention to. See, there's things in my life that the Holy Spirit's been nudging me over the last few months, and I've been ignoring Him. I know, fire me now. Just like you. He is trying to give course and direction to my life, and I need to surrender to His voice and move in the direction that He is wanting me to move. So, 4, the Holy Spirit baptizes the believer into the body of Christ. In other words, the Holy Spirit places you, once you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Lord and Savior. If you could have a big circle here, and this is the world, you have a big circle over here, and this is the kingdom of God. Over here, you were dead in your sins, and you lived the way you wanted. You were here. When you received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Spirit of God just grabbed a hold of your life, and He went, bam, child of God now. He places you there. We are all together. We're members of the body in particular. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, the body is a unit, though it's made up of many members, many parts. Though all the parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. We were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Doesn't matter if you're Jews or Greeks, slave or free. And we are all given the one Spirit to drink. In other words, we are all a part of the same thing. We have the same source. It is the Spirit of God who is resident in our lives.
Okay, so after we become a believer, I look first of all in the New Testament where the disciples were really scared. Jesus has just appeared, He rose from the dead, He's been with them, and He's leaving, and He's telling them all the things they're going to do. And they're thinking, I can't do that. Well, I don't even know what to say. Just a fisherman. How could I do that? And Jesus said to them, wait here. The Father is going to send you the Comforter. And they waited. And when the Holy Spirit came upon them, Peter went out and preached a sermon, unbelievable, not his words, the Spirit of the living God through him spoke that sermon, and the church began. Many believers. And as I look at it, what happened in my life following salvation, you know, before you accept the Lord, you have these fears. You think, oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, well, I certainly don't want to be a missionary. Well, I wouldn't know what to do. But what we don't understand, Satan wants us to think that. But what we don't understand is the Spirit of the living God, when He enters, He equips. When He equips, He tells us what He wants us to do. And when we do it, because I'm weak, I grew up in a town in Nebraska where there was no other nationality. And God sends me to Ecuador and then to a prison. Women from every country you can imagine. We had women from China, from Thailand, from Germany, from Poland, from Jamaica, to Indonesia, United States, Canada, all over the world. And all these young women were there for one reason. Drugs. They were mules, most of them. Didn't use, believed a lie, fell in love with the wrong person. And God put me there. I fought for a year. It's a whole story I can't go into now. But God put me there. And it took 2 years before they even wanted to listen to me or to start a Bible study. And you know, all that time, God was working on me. God had to change me. Now, I'm a missionary. But I did not want to go to the prison. I did not feel comfortable. I did not feel safe, and when it came to prison work, I had a hard heart. And God was calling me to the prison, and I'm telling Him all the people who do better than me. And God began to work in me. and the Spirit of the living God. Just like the dry bones in the Old Testament in Ezekiel 37, I was dry, dead bones. And the Spirit of a living God began to breathe in me and to enter me. And as he did, he changed. You know, it says he removed my heart of stone. Changing is just easy. Removing is a surgery. He removed my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. And with that heart of flesh and with the Spirit of the living God, he equipped me to go into that prison. And when I did Bible studies, I can't tell you how many times I came out and said, wow, where'd that come from? That was pretty good. I didn't say that. I didn't even plan that. But the Spirit of the living God equips us. If he's calling you, if he's nudging you, if he's telling you, he wants us to be bold. We're coming to a time in our world when we've got to be bold. Mm. Or they're going to roll over us. But the Spirit of the living God is very strong. And he can enter us, and he can give us a heart of flesh, and he can give us the words to say. Because the believer is sanctified, that's your answer, by the Holy Spirit. So I began to think, how many people know what sanctified is? Sanctified is a hard situation, it's a hard word to understand. So I looked it up. It means empowered. Sanctified. Empowered. Are we not empowered by the Holy Spirit? We're sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Peter 1:2 it says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, the setting apart by the Holy Spirit, the purity of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit for obedience to Jesus and sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. So the Holy Spirit comes in, and on the next page.
Hey, let me say something real quick.
Sure.
There's two things, two phrases I want to catch in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 1 Peter 1:2. It talks about the sanctifying work of the Spirit through belief in the truth. So this isn't just something that just, it's not like if you walk in a garage, you're going to become a car. There's a work on your part, and here it's saying it's belief in the truth. So this work that the Spirit of God is doing in our life is in conjunction with our faith. And it says in 1 Peter 1:2, it says in obedience to Jesus Christ. So it's this work of the Spirit of God has two elements that work with it. It is belief in the truth. And it's an obedience to Jesus. So sometimes you think, man, Spirit of God, I mean, there's nowhere God's working in my life. Well, let me just ask this. How are you doing it believing the gospel? How are you doing it believing the truth? How are you doing it being obedient to what Jesus is telling you to do? Because those things go hand in hand. Man, my life's messed up. I feel like dry bones. It's just, man, God's a million miles away. Well, let me just ask you, how are you doing in faith and obedience? Because those are two key things that the Spirit of God works through in our life.
So the Holy Spirit transforms the believer. It says in 2 Corinthians 13:3, you show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry written not in ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. He writes on our heart. He changes us. He transforms us into believing and trusting. Now, I read in my devotions today where it said, the Holy Spirit is our bodyguard. He's there to protect us. The first thing that came to my mind was, and if we have a bodyguard and sneak out away from him so we can be alone, what happens?
We're in trouble.
And how often do we do that with the Holy Spirit? As Tracy was saying, kind of push him aside. Yep. The bodyguard can help us. The Spirit can, if we acknowledge him, if we obey him, he will keep nudging until we do it. And I can tell Tracy's like me, he nudges a long time sometimes before we do it. But if we're seeking, if we're permitting him to work in us, and we're willing to obey him, he will. But if we treat him like a bodyguard, and we say, oh, today I've got this made, I know what I'm doing, I'm on my way, I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and we leave the house, we haven't put the armor of God on, we haven't been in the Word, we tell the bodyguard to stay out. You come home at night and you feel lousy. Nothing went right. Why is that? It's because the Holy Spirit transforms. The Holy Spirit enters us, but we have to invite him.
I think about that a lot of times. It's like the umbrella of God's protection. So you have this, I'm thinking in Deuteronomy, it's talking about the law. I think it's chapter 28, law, blessing, and cursing. The law of blessing was, is God's hand would be upon his people if they would be obedient, walk in his ways. The curse would be no blessing. So I think sometimes we miss this. If God has promised that he would be with us and that he would guard us, he would protect us, he would bless us in all the ways that he says, when you read through Deuteronomy chapter 28, he says, if you will walk in this way, my hand of blessing will rest over you. If you do not walk in my ways, my hand is not there. That's the curse. It's not that God determined that he was going to curse them. It would naturally come, an umbrella of protection. So you think about in Florida, you know, you can't have a puny umbrella in Florida, right? You got to have the 6-foot umbrella, extra heavy duty, because the wind with the rain, you stay under there, you're not going to get wet. You walk out from under it, you're going to get hosed, soaking wet. So if we can think about this thought of how God is working in our life and the Spirit of God's heart toward us to make sure that he's helping guide and get us in places, and that when we fall down, he's there to speak to us, to help us say, okay, what'd you expect? Okay, let's get over here and move on. One of the things that we need to understand about this, and the answer on page 41, the Holy Spirit transforms a believer into the image of Christ, we need to understand from Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, do not be conformed to this world. Now, conform is a term that means an outward change. So he said, this is not about an outward change. In other words, it isn't about coming to church. It's not about giving money. It's not about looking good. It's not about the outward stuff. He says, but what you need to do is you need to be transformed. And transformed specifically has the idea of an inward change. I love in Ezekiel, I think it's chapter 11, and then again in chapter 28, God speaking through Ezekiel saying, look, there's coming a time, this is all going to change. I'm going to take away that heart of flesh, and I'm going to heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh, so that you will be able to obey my commands. What's going to shift in you is here. And see, what needs to shift in us is here. God, is it important that we get outside stuff right? But Jesus is going to judge us by what? Our outward? Or is he going to judge us by our hearts? And so the Spirit of God is working in us here. He's speaking to us here. If my life shifted when God changed this, I started just dressing differently. I cut my hair. My language changed. The things that I did changed. The things that I liked changed. Did I change those things outwardly to try to fit? No. There was an inward shift in my life that changed my outward to shift. So I guess I need to ask, if your outward isn't shifting, your inward is messed up. There is this problem here with what God is trying to do here in your heart and speak to you and woo you to and encourage you to. So the idea of the greatest gift, I think it's one of the quotes in there, the greatest gift to the world is John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest gift of the church is Acts 1:8. He will empower you, enable you, equip you so that you can be witnesses to the world around you. The shift that takes place, the greatest promise. Jesus said, look, if I don't go away, I can't send what's going to be most beneficial to you. I'm with you, but I can't be with you all. He will be with you. That blows me away. How can the Spirit of God be resident in all of us, talking to all of us, saying different things? Right now, there's 100 things he's saying to 100 of us. How that happened? I don't know. Do I disbelieve it? No, because I know he speaks to me. And after the service, if I talk to Doug and Otto and a few of you, you go, this is what the Lord was saying to me. And I go, wow, this is what he said to me. Isn't that wonderful? The reality of the very presence of God in our life. The reality of very God, creator, maker of heaven and earth and all things, who will be, who was and is to come, very God resident in my life, caring about me, guiding me, directing me, encouraging me, nurturing me, loving me. Woo! You cannot get any better than that. And yet heaven is going to be better. I just kind of want to die to go to heaven. I can't wait to get there. All right, number three on your page. The Holy Spirit brings forth fruit in the believer's life. Now let's look at just the first phrase in Galatians chapter 5, 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Now, fruit is a product of. So if you get it, if you pluck an apple off an apple tree, it's a product of the tree. It's not yours. This is what we need to get. It's not my fruit. It's not my gifts. It's not really even my understanding. It is the Spirit of God who is resident in me, moving me, nudging me, wanting to flow out of my life. It is his shift in me that is making me be what he's wanting me to be. So it's the fruit of the Spirit. So the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the kindness, the goodness, the meekness, the faith. That's a product of the Spirit of God resident in my life. Let me just, one more thing. Thinking about this idea of the contrast that we first started with, he's saying, look, you got an old life and a new life. Put that old life aside. Don't live that way. Don't follow the patterns of it. And I always thought, why did he say, and be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit? Contrast. Listen, I can tell you, any one of you, you slam down a bottle of wine and you're not going to be yourself. And you're not going to be yourself because of what's in you. What you put in you. And when you drink in or you surrender to, you yield to, you give way to the Spirit of God who is resident in you, you're not going to be the same. And you're not going to be the same because you're going to be influenced by what you've given yourself to. So this is like Christianity 101 and we keep stumbling over it. We need this relationship. We need this awareness. We shouldn't be bashful just because we can't wrap our heads around it, we know the reality of it in our life. So what we need to do is we need to surrender to the reality of that in our life. We need to become more consciously aware of the reality of who we are as children of God. And what we are as children of God are people filled with the very divine nature of God, resident in our life. That's who we are. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Look it, I was a sinner, and I'm saved by grace. Does that mean that, you know, I think we just get this all messed up. We use that as an excuse to just go back into an old way. That's just an excuse. Look at, I used to be a sinner. Have I ever sinned? Yep. What do? I confess it and I forsake it. But am I a sinner? I am. The scriptures tell me if I'm wrong, I am a child of the living God. I'm not a sinner, not any longer. Once I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, the power of God came into my life, broke the power of sin, the Spirit of God became resident in my life. I am a child of God. You are a child of God. Now, understand what they're saying. But sometimes it's just an excuse for sin. We need to call it what it is. We are children of God.
Okay, now when the Holy Spirit comes in, what service does he give us? How does it change? Well, first of all, when the Holy Spirit comes in, he clothes us. He clothes us and he indwells in us. What a marvelous thing that the Holy Spirit would indwell within me, that he would clothe me, that he would clothe you. He covers you. He covers us. So once we are believers, once he's in our hearts, he takes over for us if we allow him. If we allow him. He's there. He's promised the new believers in Christ from Jesus on are infilled, indwelling the Holy Spirit. Before that, they were only, the Spirit came upon them from time to time for various needs. But we have him all the time. So he clothes us and he infills us. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost parts of the world. Of course we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. But we don't have to worry what we can do, because when the Holy Spirit is in us, he shows us what he wants us to do. In each one of us, he shows us.
Number three on page 42. Or number two on page 42, sorry. See my little helper up here helping me? She goes, she loves you. So number two, the Holy Spirit reveals and gives understanding of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit reveals and gives understanding of the Word of God. Now, I'm just going to say that because I'm going to wrap up this at the end, and I'm going to point back to this in it. So I'm going to have Joan just go through the next couple, and then I'll go back to this.
Okay, number three, the Holy Spirit helps the believer pray. You know, when our hearts are burdened, really burdened with something, we hardly have the words to say. But just being in his presence, and he groans for us, he communicates for us, he's there, he prays for us. And, you know, the Holy Spirit, I talk to him. He's a person. I talk to him. Holy Spirit, help me now. I want to try and talk to this person. Give me the right words, because heaven knows I don't know what to say. Or I'm driving my car and I say, Holy Spirit, keep me calm here. I'd like to just pass and cut him off. So, we're all human. There are things that bother us. And there are times that we need to speak, and there's times we should keep our mouth shut. And the Holy Spirit helps us do that if we allow him.
That was for you, Dawn, by the way. That's her husband.
He stays calm in the car. And he's not with me when I feel that way. So some people just don't know how to put the foot to the pedal. And they just go slow, and I'm in a hurry.
Let's just have a moment of silence for Joan. I can see.
But I have learned to slow down. In Ecuador, if you saw how they drove, you'd know why I am the kind of driver I am. And I lived through it.
Anything in the road's fair game.
So, but the Holy Spirit prays for us. And we need to communicate with Him. And the Holy Spirit gives the believer spiritual gifts.
Number four.
The spiritual gifts. You know, we're not all preachers. We're not all teachers. We're not all good with hospitality. We're not all good with serving, with mercy. But God gives the gifts. The gifts come, and we need to learn where we're strong. If there was never a meal train, I don't think I would think about bringing somebody a meal. It's not my gift. But God has given me other gifts. And each one of us have gifts, and it takes the whole church to have the church run right. And the Holy Spirit is here, and He's showing each one of us what He wants us to do. And we're saying, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say anything, because if I say anything to Tracy, he's going to tell me you do it. But if the Holy Spirit tells you there's something that's needed in our group, in our family, you should step up, because the Holy Spirit guides and nudges and prays for us and leads us and helps us and gives us the gifts that we have. And He's the one. And I just want to say that the Holy Spirit, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would fall afresh on us today. Mm. There is a song like that, but sometimes we just need to stop and say, okay, I've been kind of weak in this area. Holy Spirit, fall afresh on me. Reach me, make me, mold me, help me, strengthen me, give me power, give me boldness, give me words. And He will do it if we ask.
Let me back up just a minute to number three. The Holy Spirit helps a believer pray. And in Romans chapter 8, it's really talking about the redemption of all things. You know, we have been saved, but we have this future hope, right? And then beginning in verse 24, it says, for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently for it. So all of us, there are so many things that God has said to us. So we have the big promise of eternal life now and in the future. We have this hope now of God guiding and directing our life. But sometimes it doesn't look like He's doing His job, right? Sometimes we think, where are you? So we have this hope, but it's not just a forever hope, a over there hope. We also have this right now hope. And Paul is trying to say that if we have it, we're not going to hope for it, but we have this hope. Now, verse 26, so in this process, in this hoping for, the Spirit of God helps us because He knows our weakness, and He moves in us as we pray. How many times have any of you prayed and you didn't have words? And it went silent in some way, and there was just like a look at that's where the Spirit of God just moves in, because He knows your heart, He knows what's going on in your life, He knows your future, He knows the heart of God towards you, and knows what God's trying to do in your life. And so He's praying in accordance to the will of God for your life. He knows it all. So a lot of times when we pray and we don't know what to say, that's not a bad thing. Sometimes when we just groan and hurt, pain, whatever it is, we think that there's nothing getting past 8 feet. But that's where it goes all the way to glory. It's where it goes all the way to that throne of grace, because the Spirit of God is translating and the Spirit of God is interceding for us on our behalf. That is, I don't know about you, but that is wonderful. That is wonderful. And then this idea of God gives us spiritual gifts. Let me just say this. You can read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11, and Romans chapter 12, verse 6, to name a few, and then in Ephesians chapter 4, but 1 Corinthians 12:7 says this: to each one of you, are how many in here are saved? You don't need to raise your hand if you want, that's fine. Listen, when you receive Jesus, he gifted you in your life in some way, some measure. He gave you some kind of a spiritual gift. I don't know what it is. Some of you I know what it is, but others I don't. And it says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Or to each one of you, there is an expression. There is the Spirit of God resident in your life that gives expression out of your life. There is this gift that's evidenced, that's seen. And it is for, why is it there? It's for the common good. It's for the body. It's so that each one of us can be encouraged and strengthened. So some of you have mercy that when somebody's going through a difficult time, it's almost like Denise's, she doesn't physically have this tattoo on her forehead, but it says, spill your guts. Because we can be anywhere. We can be on vacation in a place we've never been, around people we've never seen. And we'll be standing in a line, and I'm standing there just waiting to I got business to do. I'm checking out. I need to get through the line. All of a sudden, there's a conversation behind me. Someone just pouring their life out to Denise. And you see it here because Denise is the person you're going to go, blah, and she's just going to pray for you right there. There's this gift that she has. It's something that's instilled in her life. Me, not so much that way. I got other things. I'm still trying to figure that all out. Some of you go, yeah, I don't know what you got, but we haven't seen it yet, so we're still waiting for the expression. Romans 12:6 says, we have been given gifts to use them. So, you know, one of the ways this body operates is if I know your passions and what you're driven about and what God is calling you to and nudging you toward, I want to know that because I want to try to give you a lane so that you can begin to move in that way and allow God to help you get to where you need to get and us to help you get there. All right. I said I was going to back up to number two, which says, the Holy Spirit reveals and gives understanding to God's Word. Let me just fill in these last three blanks for you. Number one on page 43 is, He shall teach you all things. Number two is, He guides us into all truth. And number three is he guides or he teaches in all things. Now, here's what I'm going to do just because of our time frame. I would really like for you to read through those, that area of Scripture. Read through all the things that are under there. What I'm going to do is I'm going to summarize those things in a nutshell. And I kind of did it just a bit earlier, but here's the deal. God knows everything about you. He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows your hopes. He knows your fears. He knows what he's called you to do. He knows everything about you. So think about this. If it is true that when I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, the power of sin has broken my life, I receive a divine impartation, it means I have very God living in my life. And very God that's living in my life knows everything about me. He knows what I'm thinking and how I'm thinking and why I'm thinking. He knows my history, my background. He knows what he needs to change. And when you look at 1 Corinthians on number 3, 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 13, says, for the Spirit searches everything, even the deep things of God. You read it a little further, that it says, and he is cooperating with God in your life. He is this go-between between you and God, your understanding, your lack of understanding about who he is. And he is resident in your life to connect the dots for you. He is a comforter. He is the one that God had determined to come alongside as a helper, as an aid, as a guide, as a teacher, as an encourager to you in your life. We have this as believers. What we need to do is constantly be aware of it as we move through our day, as we move through our week, as we move through life. A surrender, a yieldedness to the voice of the Spirit of God in our life. I don't know what he's telling you to do, but I know that, like I've admitted, that for the last few months, he's been telling me, he's been nudging me in a particular way, and I've been fighting it. Isn't that something, you know what to do? Oh, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is. So I've been sinning because I haven't been being obedient. See, we all do that. But I already can tell you, I've already shifted because he's won my heart. I only need to stand here and look back just briefly, but I could look back 40 years and see the faithfulness of God and the goodness of God in my life toward my good for his glory. Amen.